And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is energetic and motivated people. Each of my guests is discussing how energy and enthusiasm can lead to fantastic results in one's personal and business life. My next guest has the wisdom and perspective to dissect the recent financial crisis, to find its root causes, predict its effect, and offer solutions to resolve it. We'll discuss his book, Debt Deficit and the Demise of the American Economy, and his book has a foreword by Rick Santelli. If you want to call in and ask a question of my guest, Peter, or if you just want to ask a question in general, you can call 639-0008. Peter Tanous is president of Lynx Investment Advisory, LLC, a financial advisory firm to individuals and businesses that's been in business since 1992. Peter has spent his entire 40-year career in the field of finance and money management. Previously, Peter was executive vice president of the Bank of Audi, USA, chairman of Petra Capital Corporation, and first vice president and international regional director with Smith Barney, director of World Care Limited, the Christian Children's Fund, the Georgetown University Library, and Lebanese American University, and the Atlantic Council. Peter received his BA in economics from Georgetown University in 1960. Joining us from Florida. Hi, Peter. How are you today?
Fine. Pleasure to be with you, Bill.
Well, what a pleasure to have a thought leader such as yourself on the show. So let's dive right into it, because beginning last June of 2010, financially, the world's attention has turned towards Greece and its sovereign debt crisis. Now, you believe that the Greek debt default could prompt as a big a drop as 2,000 to 3,000 point drop in Wall Street. Your book, kind of a grim read, it even made the author of The Black Swan, Nassim Nicholas Taleb, scared after reading it. So the good news is the Wall Street right now, earnings are pretty good. They're coming out strong for June. We're having a big pop in the stock market today, over 100 points the last time I looked. So in what ways, Peter, is your book alarmist, and in what ways is your book cautionary about the economy?
Well, it's both. It's alarmist, first of all, because of the uncertainties of what's happening in Europe. Let's start with Greece. Greece is a financial basket case. It will never be able to pay its debt. It is almost certain to default because there is no other solution. And the unknowns here, without getting too technical, is that there are hundreds of billions of euros of credit default swaps. These are insurance policies on Greek debt. And when Greece defaults, all of these will come due, but nobody knows how much of them there are out there or whether they can be paid. The second problem is the fear of contagion, a very popular word in this crisis. Ireland's in bad shape. Portugal's in bad shape. Spain's in bad shape. And there's worry that if Greece folds, attention will turn to these other weak nations and precipitate a snowballing crisis, which eventually leads here in the U.S. and Lord knows we have our own problems.
Well, we do, Peter. But let's go through this, because Greece is part of the European Union. Now, what makes it interesting, in times gone by, if you look at a country like Argentina in the 1970s, when they ran into a situation like Greece is facing today, all they did was they devalued their money, their currency, and away they went. Greece is tied into the European Union, therefore they're a member of the Eurozone. Talk to me about why Greece can't just devalue its currency. What would happen, in your view, if they did, they went ahead and devalued?
They can't devalue the currency because the currency isn't theirs. Greece used to have a currency called the drachma, which was the Greek currency, and they could do what they wanted with that. But as part of a Eurozone that has 17 countries sharing the same currency, obviously, no single country can devalue it because it's not theirs. It belongs to 17 nations.
So the bigger question is, Peter, what will happen?
Well, one possibility would be for Greece to leave the Union, go back to its former currency, the drachma, and then devalue it by 50% and start all over. This is what you mentioned, Argentina. In the case of Argentina, this happened as recently as 2002. And that is what they did, and even almost 10 years later, Argentina still can't borrow in the public markets. But the European Union is trying to avoid that possibility by propping up Greece and lending them more money. But at some point, the citizens of the richer countries like Germany are going to say, hold on, we don't want to finance the profligacy of the Greeks who spent more than they should have. Why should we taxpayers be subsidizing that? So you can see how this problem has many different facets, most of them unpleasant.
That they are. My guest is Peter Tanous. His book, Debt, Deficits, and the Demise of the American Economy. So, Peter, help connect the dots for my listeners from Greece to the United States and how things might play out if Greece, in fact, has to be restructured for their debt.
Sure. The analogy is really pretty simple. Greece is a country that has a huge percentage, about 160% of debt to GDP, and there are many other countries in lesser but bad circumstances. The United States is a country that also has a debt problem, and anybody who pays any attention to the news can see it unfolding every day, because we need to raise the debt ceiling by August 2nd in order that the Treasury can continue to borrow and function and pay our bills. That is going to happen. I mean, there will not be a default. They will come to an agreement. There's news today of an even bigger agreement than we thought was possible, and that's one of the reasons the stock market is doing well today. But the big problem is solving the deficit. We have a $1 trillion annual deficit. We're spending that much more than we're taking in. The Congress is sort of petrified and solidified behind partisan squabbling, and they're not addressing the real problem. What we need to happen to get this problem solved before a crisis like we predict in the book happens is for politicians to stop behaving like politicians and act like statesmen.
Well, that is a lot to ask of a politician. My guest is Peter Tanous. Peter, let's take it one step further and then connect the dots to where we are with the contagion that you just talked about from Greece and how that might lead to a 2,000 or even a 3,000-point drop in the Dow.
Okay. If we begin a financial crisis, as we think will occur, with Greece's eventual default, once the attention turns to the other countries, particularly Ireland and Portugal, and most importantly Spain, then you have a cascading crisis where the financial system, the major banks, all have a crisis that will resemble the so-called Lehman Brothers crisis we had here a couple of years ago, and that is which almost brought down the entire financial system. This is the kind of situation that we're concerned about, and we are justifiably concerned about. You add to this our own debt problems in the United States, and I think that very soon, sooner than most people think, interest rates are going to start going up in the U.S., and that's going to make things even tougher.
Well, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says that doesn't look possible in the short term, but I guess time will tell on that. My guest is Peter Tanous. Peter, your book is Debt, Deficits, and the Demise of the American Economy. Interestingly, in your analysis, you talk about the weak sisters in Europe. No mention of Italy. Is Italy still of concern to investors today?
Yeah, Bill. Italy's been in the news lately, justifiably so, because it has a fairly high debt to GDP. Actually, only second to Greece. There, Italy's is about 120%. But Italy is a major producer. It's a major exporter. It is a very large economy. It has a large bond market. I don't think we need to worry about Italy. Italy is in a position to solve its problems. And in any event, there are two countries that we've talked about that the European Union will draw a line and not let anybody cross it, and that is Spain and Italy. Spain is the 10th largest economy in the world. Italy is even larger. They are not going to let Spain and Italy go down. They may have to sacrifice Greece and Ireland and maybe even Portugal, but not the big ones.
All right. Now, is it also true that in Italy, most of the debt is owned by Italians as opposed to Greece and other countries where it's owned by foreigners?
Yeah. Italy does have a fairly large amount of debt that is owned outside by major banks. So I wouldn't rely too much on that as the solution to the problem. Nevertheless, Italy's economy is one that can come out of this crisis, whereas Greece's can't.
All right. My guest is Peter Tanous, author of the book Debt, Deficits, and the Demise of the American Economy. And let's bring it on home to the United States, if we can, Peter, and
sure.
Talk about some of the challenges that we're facing within our own 50 states. And, you know, you're broadcasting into Ventura and Santa Barbara, California. So California is a state that many people are concerned about. Let's talk about the state of the states, if we can, for just a minute. Are we facing similar debt crises on a state-by-state basis as well?
Well, the simple answer is yes, sure. Almost all the states have balanced budget amendments, the kind that some people are trying to get passed on a national level. And yet almost all states also incur deficits, even though they have a balanced budget amendment in their state constitution. California is a state is a major example of a state. Yes, California has made progress lately, but you have a huge budget deficit that has to be solved the same way the national budget is solved, which is by reducing expenses and raising revenue. But here you've got a separate, a really different problem, particularly in California, which has one of the highest income taxes, if not the highest of the 50 states. Because here, when you're talking about a marginal income tax rate at the highest level of 9% or more, the problem is that people can vote with their feet. You know, and they can move to Nevada or Texas or Tennessee or Florida where there is no personal income tax. And indeed, a lot of that has been happening. I saw a frightening statistic on California that I think we used in the book. 1%, the top 1% of California taxpayers pays 50% of all the personal income taxes collected by the state. Well, those are just the people you don't want to be incentivized to move.
You certainly don't. And unfortunately, that's the sort of thing that we're seeing on both an individual level, Peter, and also on a corporate level as well. Well, I don't want it to sound all like doom and gloom, so I'm going to throw it back to you, Peter, and ask, if you are a policymaker, what should policymakers on the national level think about doing to prevent the 2,000 to 3,000 point decline in the Dow that you're talking about?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. Let me give you a couple of examples. Here's one that is on the revenue side that is politically feasible and would raise a ton of revenues, and that is instituting a value-added tax like the ones they have in almost every European country. This tax is added at different stages of production. For instance, if you build a tire, once you get the ingredients that go into the tire and it becomes a tire, there's a tax. When it's added on to an automobile, there's another tax. The good news for the policymakers is, yes, everybody's going to get upset when you pass the tax, but then they'll never see it again. It'll be there in higher prices, but it is not an add-on at the register, so you don't see it every day, and it doesn't give you a chance to get mad every day. This would raise a huge amount of money. On the spending side, unfortunately, we've got to cut where the bulges are. Social Security and Medicare need to be reformed. They are not efficient. So on Social Security, remember, Social Security was started in the 30s when, you know, you retired at 65 and you died at 68. Well, people aren't dying at 68 anymore. They're living into the 80s and 90s and getting that paycheck every month. So the plans, the various plans to reform it are a reflection of the need to adjust for the fact that people live a lot longer. And the way they're doing it, which I think makes sense, is that people who are today, in the case of one plan, I think it's the Ryan plan, people who are over 55 are not affected at all by any of the changes that are going to put through. And the others are, and realistically, Medicare needs to be reformed. I'm not an expert in health care, so I can't give you details on that, but clearly it's a system that is broken, needs fixing. So these are some of the big picture thoughts that will help us out of this crisis when our politicians stop thinking about the next election and start thinking about how to save the country.
Well, it's sound financial advice that we're getting from Peter Tanous, author of the book Debt Deficits and the Demise of the American Economy. Peter, if people really like what they hear, what you're saying, and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, to Amazon.com, of course, for the book and other other links. Also, our corporate website is LeperkLynx, LEPERCQ, then LYNX.com, and also on LinkedIn and Twitter.
LinkedIn and Twitter. And don't forget, the book is also available at Bank of Books, our own local independent bookstore, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street.
Patronize those local bookstores, folks, before they all disappear.
Hear, hear. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate that. My guest has been Peter Tanous. Peter, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Man, my pleasure, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.